This is Tom Campbell, host of a series of interviews with local musicians and music industry professionals. Today's interview is with three former members of the local band Dick Tracy. Hello, this is Tom Campbell. Today is February 13th, 2011. Today I'm talking with three local musicians, Denny Johnson, John Richardson, and Brad Grapp. We're going to be discussing Dick Tracy. Let's get started by having each band member state their name, hometown, and date of birth. Denny?
Denny Johnson, born October 11th, 1943, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
John Richardson, 1952, Minneapolis.
Brad Grapp, born in Minneapolis, 722-55.
Let's start by hearing some of the early bands you all were in prior to the band Dick Tracy. Denny?
I was in Joker's Wild, Flash Tuesday, Mojo, Buford, Lexi Johnson, Bazooka, Carry On, Bullet, Christopher, Cookie Foot. I had my own group for a little bit, Winterwood, Goldust, Pecos, Sunrise, Grand Avenue, Crow featuring Dave Wagner, JT Silverstar, Jinx, the Bowery Boys, and the Dick Tracy Band.
Denny, what did you play?
Bass and background vocals.
John?
The Knights of Day, Wild Kingdom, Cold Steel, Jerome Arnella, Apricot Brandy, Reflections, Clouds, Butterfoot, Straight Up with Mark Gallagher and Tom Murray, Jeffrey BC, Energy with Brad, Pulse, Blackjack, Sunrise with Denny Johnson, Monterey and Crow with Dave Wagner.
And Brad?
Yeah, I started playing in bars when I was 17 in a band called Fat Lip. After that, I played with a group called Rue de Light. That's when I met John Richardson, and we put together a band called Energy after that. And I worked in a band called Foxfire, which was with some guys from New York and Tennessee and Minnesota, and then came back here and was in a band called Fantasy, another band called Wildwood. After that, I worked with a local guy, a guitar guru named Lonnie Knight, in a band called Lonnie Knight and Gorgeous, and then I retired out of the business until John asked me to come back out and play with Dick Tracy. That was the last band I played with.
I'd be curious to know how you guys all met each other. Denny?
I met John Richardson probably back in the early Joker's Wild days when he used to come out to some of the jobs, and we worked up a good friendship, and I always wanted to work with him, but we never really ended up being in a band until about 10 years later when he had left a band called Blackjack, I believe, and started in with me in Sunrise, and that had to be 1978.
Okay, John?
Met Denny in Joker's Wild, and it's one of those things you never get together, really. And I met Brad when he was in a Rue de Light with a friend of mine named George Dolans. I clicked there, so we put together a band after I got back from one of the out-of-state bands I was in.
And just for the record, John, you played?
Lead guitar and sang lead and backup.
And Brad?
I'm just a drummer. They don't let me sing.
Okay, so how does Dick Tracy come about, and what time period does the band get started in? Denny?
Okay, after Crow featuring Dave Wagner had ended, I was doing a lot of studio work, and we had a lot of different people coming over. Mark Fisher was doing sessions. John Richardson was doing sessions. Jim Potter was doing sessions. And after we did this for probably about a year, we thought, you know what, maybe we got to get another band going or something like that. So I think John Richardson thought of Dave Wagner maybe for singing. And then, John, why don't you take it over from here and tell how Mike Holm became the singer of the band back in 83.
Mike gave me a call and asked me what I've been doing because he wanted to put together something and said I already had a band together pretty much. And he decided to come over and he liked it, and the rest is a band.
Denny, what kind of music did Dick Tracy play?
Well, back then we did a lot of stuff from Rainbow, Brian Adams, Foreigner, Night Ranger, Spirit, Donny Iris, Huey Lewis and the News, Jeff Beck, Led Zeppelin, ZZ Top, Survivor, Loverboy, Rascals, Bob Seger, all that kind of stuff.
And for the record, who played what in the original version?
The original version of Dick Tracy was Mark Fisher on drums, Denny Johnson on bass and vocals, Jim Potter on keyboards, John Richardson on lead guitar and vocals. Mike Holm was the lead singer.
Did the band do any original songs?
We did one song that was a collaboration song called Heat of My Heart.
John, do you remember some of the clubs Dick Tracy played in?
Yes, we played in Loesch's in Hastings, T. Wright's in Brooklyn Center.
The Registry Hotel in Bloomington.
The Press up in St. Cloud, so. And a lot of corporate things and stuff like that.
Corporate things meaning private parties?
Private parties, yeah.
Okay. Was Dick Tracy booked by an agent?
No, we did all the booking ourselves. I did some, John did some, Mike Holm did some.
I think Waterworks helped us a little bit.
What other local bands were playing around that time period, the early 1980s, local bands?
Chameleon was probably the biggest band. Jesse Brady was still together. Other than that, I don't really remember
anymore. Dare Force, I remember, was out. Sterling. Well, yeah, that was the local stuff that I can think of.
Okay, so the original version of the band lasted from 1983 until when?
The original version went until Mike Holm left the band in May of 84. And he was replaced by Chris Gilbertson.
And that's on lead vocals?
On lead vocals, net. And then there was no more changes until Mark Fisher left the following July in 85. That was the drummer, and he was replaced by Mark Bulow on drums and vocals. And then I left the band in October of 85 and was replaced by Jim Amundson on bass. And then after that, I'd have to turn it over to Johnny because I really wasn't in.
So, John, October 85, Denny leaves the band and is replaced by Jim. What happens to Dick Tracy then?
Well, we play for the next year until 86 when Brad Grapp becomes the new drummer for Dick Tracy. Mark decides to go back to the band that he was previously, called Silver Rose.
Brad, had you been out to see Dick Tracy?
Well, I had not. Matter of fact, I was completely out of the music business. Had really no intention of ever playing music again live or professionally, and there were very few people that could have talked me into coming back out. And John came over and said his drummer was leaving, and he wanted me to consider playing, and I went out and saw the band at that point for the first time, and they were already a very seasoned and very tight band, and if it weren't for that, I probably wouldn't have considered it.
Do you recall where you first saw them play then?
I don't recall the name of the place. I know it was on Highway 10, I believe, in like Anoka or something. John, you remember?
It was La Casita.
Yeah.
It was a big place. It used to be Thumper's previous to that.
Yeah.
And what city was that in?
Coon Rapids.
Way up north. John, what clubs were you playing during this time period with Brad in the band now?
Okay, we played Boyd's on the River. That was in North Minneapolis. Nibs and the Mirage, which are basically the same thing, the same places, but they rebuilt it. That was in South Minneapolis. The Medina Ballroom, the Back 40 in Medina, obviously. Cordaro's Bar up in St. Cloud. Serms in Anoka. And then the Launching Pad in Moundsview, Mama G's and Maple Grove. And a bunch of other places, high schools, colleges, whatever, at that point. It's kind of fun.
Brad, do you recall any stories from your time period with Dick Tracy?
Well, I remember when I first joined the band, they were pretty welcoming. I got along with everybody really well right off the bat. It wasn't too long after I joined the band that we played a Halloween gig at Mama G's, and I dressed up as a bride. I had been wearing a beard since I started in the band, and I shaved it off. I put on a wig. I threw on a wedding dress. And when I got there, I just sat at the bar, and I didn't say hi to anybody when they walked in. And they were all walking on stage, and Jim Potter looked over at everybody and said, "Anybody seen Brad?" And I walked up on stage, and he looked over at me, and he said, "Oh, my God, I saw you at the bar. You were the ugliest chick I have ever seen in my life."
They were a little surprised to find out who the lady was.
Yeah, but glad they had a drummer for the night.
John, how about you? You remember any stories with Dick Tracy?
Yeah, we were playing in Eden Prairie with Brad's first gig, and Jim Amundson was always kind of the stickler on everything, and he and Brad kind of butted heads. He says, "You didn't play this exactly this way." And I kind of went through the same thing with Jim in the first band I played with him in the writer band. But when I did that with Jim, I tossed him a quarter and told him to call the original guitar player that I replaced.
How did he react to that?
He never picked on me again.
I actually remember when I first joined the band, I had similar situation with Jim. We became so tight down the road. One of the best bass players I ever worked with, and it's so important for drums and bass to be just, you know, in each other's heads. The first gig I did was kind of magical. I was under a lot of pressure to learn a lot of material in a short period of time, but the second gig, for some reason, I laid back a little bit too much, and he didn't feel the energy, and he got on my case about it in kind of a big way, and I actually kind of liked that because it drove me to try and improve my game a little bit. It's probably one of the reasons why Jim and I ended up being such a tight little foundation for the rhythm section.
And do you recall where that first gig was when you joined the band?
It was a little club, and I don't recall the name. They ran rock and roll for a short period of time off of Highway 7 and 101 in Minnetonka. I remember it like it was yesterday, though. You know, when you get somebody approaching you with not being 100% into it, you remember it.
Did the band have a sound man, light show, anything like that?
We had a sound man. I think at that point, Greg Gehring was running sound, and Bernie Bulow was running lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the old drummer's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, family operation.
So what happens next in the life of Dick Tracy?
Mind if I take this one?
Sure, go ahead.
I think part of the reason during that period of time this band got so tight and so good that these guys had been together for a while. I came in and added some new blood on drums, and I was really excited to start playing rock and roll music again. I'd been out of it for a while. Initially, I was a little rusty. I think as I improved and got my skills back, the band got kind of excited about playing rock and roll again, too. You know, in any band, if you're doing for a long time, it can get a little bit old and stale. For some reason, that new lifeblood and the new chemistry just really took off. This was a very, very tight band for the next period of time.
Did you have a following that followed you around?
Pretty much everywhere. We had a group of people that would follow us to St. Cloud or wherever we played, basically. Mm-hmm. It was always nice. It was usually mostly women. I think three of us were going through divorce at the time, so it was always kind of easier that way.
We had a place we played at the Medina Ballroom called the Back 40. It wasn't upstairs on the big stage, but we were there at least once a month. We were probably the only band that cut a deal with the place that we got a piece of the gate, and we made more money that way. They were really glad we'd come in, and it was a pretty big draw for a small room. It was like old home week. We would have basically the entire following for the band in there. We knew everybody like they were family. That was almost once a month during that entire period of time.
Also, at that point, sometimes we'd outdraw the upstairs.
Yeah.
You'd outdraw the main ballroom?
Yeah. It would take us literally 15 minutes to get to the bathroom and back.
We had guys from National Acts coming into town, coming down to see us before they'd go on or in between their sets from upstairs. And some of them would walk in and say that they were so impressed that we were probably the best small bar band they'd ever seen in their lives. These guys were touring nationally. And
these were national bands that were playing upstairs in the main ballroom.
That's yes. Right.
Who would go downstairs to see you guys.
That's yeah. Right.
They came and saw us and said, well, I remember it was the Ozark Mountain Daredevils particularly came up to me and said, you guys are the best band we've ever seen in the backstage of any place in the country.
It's quite a compliment.
Yeah.
It felt good. It was nice to be recognized for that kind of stuff. I think considering we were, you know, working full-time jobs at that point, playing music more than part-time, but less than full-time, it was nice to hear those kinds of things.
Now, in this version of the band, are you still doing primarily cover songs off the radio?
Yes, we were doing one original, or maybe, no, we did actually three. We did Heat of My Heart, which Chris Gilbertson and myself wrote. I think we're doing Dirty Old Rock and Roll, which I wrote. For right now, those are the only two I remember, actually.
Okay. Brad, what happens next in the band?
Well, we got real good. Chris left about a year after I joined the band, give or take. I'm a drummer, so I don't remember dates. And it was sad to see him go because he was a great singer. But we got real lucky. There was a local guy who had been in a number of good bands. His name was Tom Baden. He was a member of Teaser, who had a huge local following and were just a tremendous hard rock band. And Kane was also a tremendous hard rock band with a huge local following. And he had been retired for a little while, too. And we talked him into joining the band, and he was a perfect fit, just seamless. He also played rhythm guitar, I guess, what I'd probably say is a little extra bonus, because an already tight rhythm section became even more solid. We used to call it the Sherman Tank rhythm section. And his voice was just amazing, so just absolutely a perfect lead singer for the band. He was with us right up until the recording project.
John, what do you recall when Tom Baden came into the band?
I called Tom. He was interested in it. We had a lot of things in common. He, myself, and Potter all had kids that same year, so it was kind of interesting. We were trying to keep it a family thing, and he was a great fit. I mean, he sang wonderfully. He's got a unique high voice.
You had seen Tom in what bands?
Kane, Teaser, a few other ones. During that time, I had tried to get a hold of Mark Gallagher, but he wasn't quite into it at that point.
And you knew Mark Gallagher from?
The Litter.
The Litter.
I had also played with him in Straight Up.
Mm-hmm. So Tom Baden is now the lead vocalist with Dick Tracy, and what's the next chapter in the story?
Okay, well, Tom was looking to promote himself as a solo artist at that point. And I had gotten a hold of Mark Gallagher, and I had a backlog of songs for a while. So we started a recording project while Dick Tracy was still simultaneously playing. Everybody except Tom Baden was in on the recording project.
The great thing about this was that the band was intact and not necessarily moving on as a band. Some of the guys had started looking at other possibilities with other musical direction, but the tightness between the members was there. And Mark Gallagher, who I would have never guessed in a million years would decide to get back into the music business, decided he was interested. John had this tremendous, I don't even know what to call it. He'd been writing songs and keeping it secret from us for all this time, and they were great tunes. And I heard him, and I was really excited. Mark obviously was really excited about it. And he came into the project, and we recorded this stuff. It just was magical.
I had talked to a local rep from MCA, and I don't remember the other recording. Mercury, that's what it was. And he remembered Mark, and he kind of told me, well, he was going to get into promoting, and he asked me if I could get Mark to do a demos. So that's basically how the recording project started.
Where did you record?
We recorded at Sunrise Studios.
Located in?
Brooklyn Park. And Denny Johnson engineered it. Tom Baden actually came in and helped us engineer too. Because he had owned the studio also at one time.
It's funny how things work out. You know, Mark and John had history together. Mark and Denny had history together. Denny owned the studio, recorded, and Tom Baden sticking around even though he was no longer the singer. It was kind of like just everybody was collaborating to make this thing come together.
And yet at the same time, you're still playing as Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Okay. And were there any changes in the lineup of Dick Tracy?
No, not until New Year's of 88, sorry. And that's when the band kind of fell apart. The bass player decided he didn't want to continue at that point. Because he was already been working with a local guitar player, singer, songwriter named Randy Casey.
The local darling that he got a lot of good press in those days, and it looked like he was going to go somewhere. And then Jim Potter, the keyboard player at that point, he had no problem landing a gig with some friends of ours. But John and I felt like we wanted to keep the band together and working with Mark. I mean, I'm the youngest member of this whole story, and working with a legend like Mark Gallagher was something I didn't want to let go of. I had retired once out of the music business and was enjoying it so much being back in it. I never thought I'd get a chance to work with a guy like Mark. His voice is one of the most rare things I've ever heard in my life. When he goes up for those high notes where all the other singers have to hit their falsetto, he's doing it in full voice. And if you've never seen the guy sing, for anybody out there who doesn't know who we're talking about and hasn't witnessed Mark Gallagher on stage, when this guy breathes and sings, his chest probably expands 12 inches when he's breathing. He's just amazing. So we decided to try and get something going.
The preceding interview was recorded on February 13th, 2011 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Danny Johnson and Tom Campbell.